Good to have Dave back there and you back there behind the keyboard. It's good to hear you back on the keyboard again. So, feels good, good, good. All right. Is it really 5 minutes to 11? Well, sit tight, okay? We don't know when we get done. The Holy Spirit kind of decides those factors for us. But a couple announcements in terms of current updates. I've been doing that for the last 5-6 weeks. To fill you in on what's happening in the world around us, and as many of you know, Cornerstone Church, I as a pastor, 4 other pastors, a county attorney, and a state representative are involved in a lawsuit against the governor, suing the governor for a violation of our religious freedoms. And so we told the governor way back in May 3rd, with all due respect, governor, take a hike and turn. You cannot tell us how to worship, even though he tries as hard. His hardest to do that. So we're involved in that lawsuit. And as a result of that, I've been getting contacts from other portions of our state in terms of not just churches, but businesses as well who are asking for assistance. And I put out a little video about 2 weeks ago and explained how the governor's edicts are unlawful according to Minnesota state law. And what resident or businesses can do to protect themselves against the unlawful edicts. And that vlog has now reached about 47,000 hits on Facebook and about 8,000 engagements. I don't really know what that means. But as a result of that, what's happening is restaurant owners across the state are calling me. I didn't ask for this. It came to me. But when they call me on the phone or email me and I call them back, it almost breaks my heart. It almost breaks my heart because I forget where the last one is from. I think it's up north in a town of 1,200. And she says, I need help. I need help. My business is going to go under if I cannot serve people in my restaurant. Can you help me? So I ask for your prayers. I'm not competent at this. I'm not qualified at this. With help from Terry Larson, I call him Terry Larson too. We have 2 Terry Larsons in church, so I call him Terry Larson too. Not to his face. I don't call him Terry Larson too to his face, but I call him Terry Larson too. Anyway, with his help, and we've teamed up together, we've done a lot of work. And here's some of the latest. If you want these statistics, I can make copies of this for you because you need to know. You need to be in the know about what the governor and the government is trying to tell you because it's not true. It's just not true. Here are the latest statistics. Don't write these down because I've got them in my hand and you can make a copy of this if you want to. 90%, catch that number, 90%. Of COVID positive cases on the PCR test, which aren't accurate at all to begin with. 90% of positive individuals are asymptomatic. You know what asymptomatic means? They're not sick. They're not sick at all. They show no symptoms. Number two, asymptomatic COVID positive have a spread rate of 0.7%. Less than 1% of people who are not sick spread COVID. Did you know that? Wow, it's huge. Survival rate of ages 0 to 69 in the population as a whole is 99.82% survival rate. So if they're going to give you a vaccine that has a 90% effective rate, I think I'll take the disease. Survival rate of age 70 plus is 94.6%. With high comorbidities and other causes of death. So you really can't believe these numbers. Dr. Deborah Birx, you probably heard of her, and state health officials confirmed that all COVID-positive individuals who die from other causes are being counted as a COVID death. Can you imagine that? Including, but not limited to, car accidents, gunshot wounds, 1 week to live in hospital, drowning, dementia, and alcohol poisoning are all classified as COVID deaths. They're lying to you, lying to us. According to the CDC, only 6% of death certificates show COVID-19 as the only cause of death, which includes assumed cause. I can go on and on and on. The masks being mandated to wear are scientifically now proven to not work against viruses. According to studies from the WHO, Dr. Anthony Fauci, in addition to 10 months of people wearing them, showing no better rate of cases than states and countries that have not worn them, plus 85% of people who tested positive were mask wearers. The CDC reports no significant reduction in influenza transmission with the use of masks. So there has to be an alternate agenda. And there is an alternate agenda. Well, there's more if you want. I can make copies of this for you, but we wanted to let you know what's happening. This is a very important week in our country, beginning with on Wednesday, January 6th, should be some fireworks in Washington, D.C. So stay tuned to your local reliable news sources. Reliable. Did I say reliable? Our scripture reading, you'll find it in your worship folders. Let's take that out. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Let's stand together as we read this passage of scripture from the Apostle John. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And he who is seated on the throne, our Lord Jesus, said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Thank you. You may be seated. Our sermon series, Heaven as You've Never Imagined It, and today's sermon title, which is a little bit different than what you're normally used to hearing, is "This World Is Our Future Home." Normally you hear, "This world is not our home. We're heading to another one." But actually the Bible says this world that we live in today is going to be refashioned, remolded, a new heaven and a new earth. So actually we're going to focus on this topic today, that this world really is our future home. Let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds to the beautiful descriptions of heaven as you've given to us in Scripture. This future home of ours, full of activity, full of things to do, full of opportunities to use, or talents and abilities that you've given to us, even in this life, to use in the next life. And we can't wait to dig into your Scriptures to study this amazing topic of heaven. When our world is so dark around us and news is so gloomy, we have the brightest future awaiting us as your children. Bless our time together today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When Adam and Eve were forcefully removed from the Garden of Eden, remember they were kicked out of the garden and they had taken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so the Lord says, "Okay, you can no longer live here, and I'm going to put a guard at the door, a cherubim at the door, to make sure that you can't come back into the Garden of Eden and eat of the tree of the..." They left. When they left the garden, what do you think was inscribed into their DNA? And this is something I've been thinking about. In every human heart, or somewhere a strand on our DNA, somewhere in every single human heart, I think there is a distant memory of our previous home as a race. Somewhere. You know, God's put a vacuum-shaped, you know, hole in every human heart that is intended to direct them Godward and to know that there is a God and they're not God, but also there's this distant shadow, a distant memory, a longing of where our race started, where our home really was. It was called paradise. Paradise. And so I think that people are really, really quiet, unencumbered by the noise of this world and the political bombshells going off, and really able to settle down and to listen to the sweet small voice of God, that memory of our past home would come back again to people all around the world. Think of it this way. When you go into a big city, a burned out city, go to Detroit. Detroit's not the only city. But you look at all the graffiti, and you look at all the windows that are broken, and look at all the boarded up factories, and it's just, you look at all the garbage in the street. Why do you recoil at these scenes in front of you? Why do you do that? Because if we live in a sinful world, that should all be normal. We say, oh, that's normal. That's the way it should be. No. We have innately inside of us a concept, a beauty of order, of the way things ought to be are not like that. How many have ever seen the movie Back to the Future? Back to the Future, all right? I love the first episode, Back to the Future 1. Back to the Future 2 is the worst movie ever. I hated it. Why? And they wanted you to hate it because the bully was in control, right? The bully was in control. And the world that he was in control of was a mess. It was ugly. It was dark. It was gloomy. Why do you recoil at that? Because innately, you know that's not right. That's not the way it ought to be. I was on, I shouldn't have been, I was on YouTube, and I saw this video. It was amazing. This guy had taken a pride of lions and raised them. Has anybody seen that video? It's fun. Did you see it? Yeah, it's cool. He raised this pride of lions from little cubs, and then he put them out in the wild. And years later, he comes back, and they just jump all over him with affection. They can't stop showing their love for this man. And here comes the king. Here comes the king. Struts up to the man who raised him, and he nudges him. That's what heaven is like. What a perfect picture of heaven, where everything is at peace. And the animal kingdom is at peace with mankind. Well, we should have that feeling. Let's take a look at our main point for today. I'll try to leave this up as long as I can, but don't worry about it if you can't get it all down. We look forward. We look forward to future heavens, plural. We've talked about that. It's more than one heaven. We look forward to future heavens where we will live in a physical world with physical bodies, enjoying sights and sounds and experiences that match our current physical world. I'll say it again. We look forward to future heavens, plural, where we will live in a physical world with physical bodies, enjoying sights, enhanced bodies, by the way, resurrected, glorified bodies that have much greater capabilities, and you know, your brain and your hearing and all that will be amazingly different. With physical bodies enjoying sights and experiences that match our current physical world. So let's get into our text, plural, today. A main point, the intermediate heaven, which we talked about last Sunday, the intermediate heaven is a physical place with physical properties inhabited by physical people. So my parents, my grandparents, my loved ones who've gone before me are there now. They are living in this intermediate world, intermediate heaven, where they are experiencing the joys of heaven there. That's not our future home. No. It's the intermediate home. And they are in an intermediate physical body. So we'll talk about that as we look into this passage, these passages of Scripture. So how did it happen that the church, for example, got the impression, the idea that heaven is spiritual, not physical, that everyone there is kind of a hazy, see-through image, that you can see right through somebody, you know, but you know there's somebody there, but it's a spirit, and you see right through them. No. That's wrong. That's Plato. That's Platoism. Platonism. Because he taught, and it infiltrated the church. Church fathers picked it up right from Plato, which they should not have done. They should have had their theology come straight from the Bible. He taught that the physical world that we live in is evil, and the spiritual world is good. And that infiltrated into the church. It's heresy. heresy. What does the Bible say? You might want to write down some of these scripture passages. I'm going to give them to you kind of in a fast-fire approach. Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15, verse 8. It describes heaven and the sanctuary of heaven filled with smoke. So smoke is in heaven. And if there's smoke, there should be fire. So there's fire and there's smoke in heaven. It says the sanctuary is filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. So there's smoke and there's fire. Revelation 7:9 says, After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne. See, they're standing. They're not floating. They're standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And what? They're clothed in white robes. You don't put a robe on a spirit. You don't. And they're holding palm branches in their hands. So they got hands and palm branches and white robes. It's physical. Revelation 8:6 says this, now the seven angels who have the seven trumpets, so there's trumpets in heaven indeed, and they work. They blow loudly, prepared to blow them. Revelation 19:14, in the armies of heaven, this one's my wife's going to appreciate the most, in the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. White horses. Are they all white horses? Probably. I don't know. And the New Jerusalem, which is predicted here in Revelation chapter 22, coming down out of heaven. Revelation 21:22, coming down out of heaven. It's a physical place. And so it is in heaven right now. It's in the intermediate heaven. It's there. And it's going to come down out of heaven onto this earth. Revelation 21:2 says that. And saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So it's there. It's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles high. New Jerusalem is in heaven now. It's in heaven now. So what about paradise? Let's talk about paradise. The word paradise comes from a Persian word. And that Persian word means a walled garden, a walled garden. And so the first garden, the Garden of Eden, was this paradise. And it might have been, we don't know, a walled garden, but that's the concept. And Jesus told the criminal who was being crucified with him on that day that this day you will be with me in what? Paradise. Paradise. So where was that? Where did he go? Where is this place? Because if you go back into the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, and Adam and Eve had sin. Of course, Adam was told, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so when they sinned, they were kicked out of the garden. And a cherubim, some say cherubim, it's actually cherubim, were stationed at the very entrance of the Garden of Eden to prevent access back to the tree of life. And so they were removed from the Garden of Eden. Where is that garden today? That garden today is in heaven. Why do we know that? Because the tree of life is in heaven. Did you know that? It got taken up from earth. God can do anything. So he took the garden up from earth and put it in heaven. That's where paradise is to this day. So we see that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which was once in the Garden of Eden, but now is in the paradise of God. Eden's been transplanted. It's now in heaven. What about people? That's paradise. What about people? Physical bodies. This is hard to imagine. Will they have physical bodies in heaven? Will he be able to touch somebody? Will he be able to hug somebody? Will he be able to hold their hand? The answer is yes, you will. You will. Even before they get their resurrected body. The resurrected body is going to come. It's been prophesied by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Been prophesied by Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That day has not come yet. That day is still future. So even before they get their glorified and resurrected bodies, they still have bodies. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But you've got people in the scripture. You've got Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were there in their physical body. Enoch probably was translated to heaven, and he probably is in his earthly resurrected or glorified body. But I don't think they're exceptions. I don't think Moses and Elijah and Enoch are exceptions. It appears that residents of heaven will be given what we call an intermediate body. An intermediate body. It's a good way of understanding it. To use while they live in the intermediate heaven. Okay? Last week we talked about the intermediate heaven. At one point, there's Hades, where non-believers went. Lazarus and the rich man living on two sides. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. That's where the saints went. Godly people went. Rich man was on the other side in torment. Those on the Abraham side were taken out. They are now in the intermediate heaven. Just to give you a little background to what we are saying, they're in the intermediate heaven. And so they exist there in physical form. Physical form of some kind. Touch. You can touch them. You can hug them. You can eat. They can eat. Revelation 6, 9 through 11 says this. Speaks of the souls in heaven given white robes to wear. Spirits don't wear robes. In the Old Testament, angels would come. Angels are called ministering spirits. Very good, accurate description. But in the Old Testament, they would appear frequently to minister and to help human beings in a physical body. I think there's a connection. I think there's a connection. Just like the angels could appear in a physical body, so our relatives now in heaven have physical, some kind of a physical intermediate body. And if you go back to look at Luke 16, rich man Lazarus, that description that Jesus gave of that situation there, both of those men were physical. Both of those men were physical. The rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus, have Lazarus tip his finger into some water to cool the rich man's tongue. So physical, physical. All right, so the intermediate heaven where God is now, where our relatives are now who passed away in the Lord, is a physical place with physical properties holding inside of it the New Jerusalem inhabited by physical people. Point number two, life in heaven involves awareness of and prayers for what is happening now on earth. So turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. We're just going to skim over this to prove our point. We're going to skim through it as quickly as we can. We could spend an entire hour, I'm sure, on this one passage of Scripture, but we won't. It says this, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. This is what's going on in heaven right now, even as we speak. This is activity happening in heaven. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. So what can we learn? We can learn a lot of things from this passage of Scripture. We're just going to skim a few things. Number one, their deeds live on. They were martyred for their faith in Christ, and they were known for that. Their martyrdom is noted in heaven. You lived in faithfulness on earth, that record goes with you into heaven. Number two, they cried out with one voice, not many voices. It was a unified voice. Together, they asked the Lord. Number three, they had passion and emotion, lots of emotion in heaven. They cried out. Number four, they have memory. They have memory of why they were there as martyrs. They remembered their martyrdom. They remembered how they were murdered. They remembered. You will lose your personhood if you lose your memory. I don't want to go there when we talk about Alzheimer's, but how true that is. Boy, it breaks my heart. You will lose your personhood. All those who are suffering with Alzheimer's and dementia will someday get their personhood back in heaven. They'll have their memory. Number five, time will go on. It'll be a lapse of time. They asked, how long must we wait any longer? So there's time in heaven. Number six, there's knowledge and awareness of justice, filled or unfilled. When will you serve justice on those who have murdered us? They know that. There's requests. They're even praying now, asking for answers. They get answers back from God. They learn new things. All of this is going on in heaven. So life in heaven involves awareness of and prayers for what is happening now on earth. Our rewards, or lack thereof, in heaven means that we will remember what we did on earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. You know this passage. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. You will remember your entire life. There will be a review. The Lord will go back over your life and say, here's what you did for the kingdom. Here is your reward. Here's what you didn't do, you could have done. You lost your reward. It's all about that. So yes, we will remember. Proof that we will retain our memory in heaven. And we'll also be watching events unfold. If we're there now, our family members who are there can watch what's going on down here on earth. Revelation chapter 19. Do we have that on the screen? Revelation 19, verse 2. For his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute. They can see this happen. The witnesses in heaven watch. Oh, here's what God did. Here's what Jesus did. He judged the great prostitute. That's the, in my opinion, the one world religion that's soon to be, I won't go there. I don't have time to go there. The great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. They can see that the prostitute has been judged. They can see that. They know what's going on. So angels know what's going on earth right now. They're very aware of it, right? We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21, in the presence of God, here's what Paul says, and of Christ Jesus, and of the elect angels, I charge you, Timothy, to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. So, Timothy, I'm going to give you a charge, and I'm doing it in front of God, and I'm doing it in front of the angels, plus other people in heaven as well. Be faithful. So some say, well, that just doesn't compute, because after all, once we get to heaven, the Bible says all crying and mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, will be over. So if we're watching what's going on down here, and we're troubled by what we see going on down here, and the suffering of saints going on down here, there will be pain, there will be crying in heaven. So it contradicts itself. No, it doesn't contradict itself at all. Because that promise that you heard me just say refers to the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. Okay? That's important. In the intermediate heaven where our saints are now, they are entering into our suffering, our pain. But when it's all finished at the end of the millennium, and the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, and everyone goes through the white throne who are not believers, but they go through the white throne judgment and they're sentenced to hell, then something happens. At that point, something happens. I don't know how God does it, but something happens. And from that point on, there will be no more crying and no more pain of what's happening here on earth. Point number three. This earth we call home will become our future eternal home. Where we live right now, not necessarily Alexandria, but here on earth, is our future home. Revelation 21:1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, reformatted, refitted, cleansed by fire, pollution gone, the atmosphere that it was in the Old Testament. People lived 900 years back then. They'll live 900 years again. That kind of atmosphere, biometric or barometric pressure, will return. This is our future home. So let's talk about that just a little bit. So the similarities between the old earth that we experience right now and the new earth are amazing. They're amazing. We catch glimpses everywhere we go of mountains and trees and cities and valleys, and we enjoy that and know that in the future they're all going to be enhanced. It's going to be so much more, but it'll still be mountains and valleys and rivers. And also, the New Jerusalem is a city. It's a city. So if we're conscious of what cities are like, especially when they operate correctly and not run over by rioters, we see buildings, we see streets, we see art, we see entertainment, we see music, we see sports events, maybe, but we see all of that. We know what cities are like. There's going to be all of that in heaven as well. In the new earth, we'll have bodies. Bodies. They will look younger. I'm sure they will. And they will function. I'm sure they will function a lot better than these when they get old. So we'll be able to hug. We'll be able to touch. We'll be able to kiss. We're told that there's going to be work in heaven. And that's amazing. Work. Work. You get to use your talents and your abilities, whatever God has given you now, whatever you love to do, and you get to do those things in heaven as objects of worship. Here, Lord, here's what I made for you. And he accepts it. It's beautiful. Work. We know what work is like. Both Abraham and all the Old Testament saints looked forward to a heavenly city. How could they look forward to a heavenly city unless they had comparisons of earthly cities? They had to. This is what a heavenly city is going to be. Hebrews chapter 13, I think I have that on the screen for you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 says this, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." So there is this anticipation. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." How can you look forward to it if you don't know these things? City and the beauty of this earth being refashioned. Well, final word. This thought just came to me in prayer, and it kind of hit me for the very first time. I imagined myself being with Adam and Eve in the garden, walking in the garden with them, the Lord coming to me, you, in that garden, if you can imagine that, and walking with you in the cool of the day, fellowshipping, talking, visiting. So I believe this is true. If God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, in the cool of the day, every day, he will most certainly do that with each of us in our future home as well. Can you imagine that? So the admonition is, live your lives as if you're looking forward to that daily walk. We have a daily walk now, and the Lord does speak to us, but then no restrictions. No sin hindering our walk with the Lord. And we will talk to God just like Adam and Eve talked with God in their daily walk. Jim, would you come? We're going to be dismissed with prayer. Normally we have a song, but we ran out of songs, I think, earlier. So we sang them all. And that's just the way we structured it. Congregation, please stand as we dismiss this portion of our time together with a word of prayer.